only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Now go home and get your fucking shine box. Big mistake. Big, huge.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
At a big San Francisco.
Hey!
The joiner.
Ah, there's no crying in baseball.
No mercy.
I love you.
No. Doubt is what the fuck it means.
Shut Are you starting up. This pod or what?
Yes, actually. I was just about to say, you guys ready?
You're ready?
Been ready, dog. Mark. I give this movie a 2 out of 10. See ya.
Mark. Hey, Mark, are you ready?
Yeah.
No, bro. Don't fucking do it, bro.
Bro, don't fucking do this intro.
Don't fucking do it.
You're going to ruin the cinephiles. It's like you ruined the other one.
Bitch.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, really quickly, babe. Just give me a normal audio.
I'm here. Is it too low? Do I sound nasally? I always feel like I sound
You
nasally.
Definitely sound a little nasally.
Fuck off.
You sound like you ate a whole bag of Doritos.
Oh, I love Doritos.
And a whole bag
the red
of
ones,
dicks.
Though. I don't like the ranch ones.
Sounds like you ate a whole bag of dicks, babe.
Yeah,
you're a bag of dicks.
A thing of wine.
In your asshole.
Okay. Alright. Okay. I got this going, I got that going, I got your mother going.
My mom's dead.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Stop.
Alright.
Right.
12 minutes of bullshit? That's what we've been doing. Alright.
Well, you took 12 minutes. So.
Alright, give me 5 seconds of silence and then we'll start. You ready? Ooh. Welcome to another episode of The Cinephiles. Should I go that? What do you guys think? Creepy, like, in the beginning? Or should I go like, hey guys, welcome to The Cinephiles?
Well,
your regular voice kind of sucks, so yeah.
Well, that voice ain't no better.
I hate the fucking both of you guys so much. All right, welcome to The Cinephiles, everybody. It's the movie for cinephiles. And we're about to open up a pretty good file tonight. It is new. What is this? It's been about a week this movie's been out, babe?
It came out over the weekend, so yeah.
Okay. And we are talking about the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm Mike. I got Tara here.
Hello, fuckers.
And I have the ever annoying and always ugly Mark with us as well.
That would be me. Hello.
You guys might know Mark from the other podcast that we do. Probably not, because nobody likes wrestling and nobody listens to it. But anyways, it is the Good Friends, Better Enemies podcast, to do a cheap plug in there. Right here in Long Island, New York.
Oh, God.
Go to bed, Michael.
So, yeah. So, we're doing the new... oh, my God. I just totally lost my frame of thought. The new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Really quickly, directed by David Blue Garcia, written with the screenplay was written by Chris Thomas Devlin, and the story was written by Fede Alvarez and Rodosaya Garuesa. I think that's how it's pronounced, by the way. I'm not sure. There's not a lot of hyphens in this name. Producers, Fede Alvarez, Herbert Gaines, Kim Henkel, Ian Henkel, Pat Cassidy, and Mark Olivero. Those... it runs for about 81 minutes, which is...
I could have been a sick Leatherface. You ever think about that?
Dude, I'm going to say this right now. You would make an amazing Leatherface.
I can definitely see it.
Mark, I'm going to throw this out on the podcast right now. We have Monster Mania Con in 2 weeks. I was going to surprise you guys. I'm going as Michael Myers. I'm bringing my Michael Myers outfit. I'm getting the knife again. And I'm going to do one day, probably Saturday or Sunday, I'm not sure, but one day is going to be, I'm doing full Michael Myers.
That's going
to
be awesome.
Mark, you have to do Leatherface.
I think I'd be a sick Leatherface.
Can you do it for me?
No.
Mark, come on, you son of a bitch. You start tickling my dick, you lick the balls, and then just as I'm about to finish, you're like, all right, guys, go to bed.
All right, let me think about it. I got to go out to the store and get it going. I have to go buy a chainsaw first.
Though. I will look online for a fake chainsaw for you. Or actually, technically, you can get a regular chainsaw, just take the chain off.
All right.
Anyways, so yeah, that's we'll put that in the side burner. But yeah, that's pretty interesting. There's no budget versus box office information about on this movie, mainly because it went right to Netflix, and Netflix is a bunch of penny pinching pieces of shit. So yeah, I don't even know how much this movie cost to make. I could probably do some research on it, but I didn't have enough time to do that right now. But I believe the original 74...
They were on this
movie. What's that?
They were on this movie. They were a little cheap.
Were they? You think so?
Definitely.
Yeah, they filmed the whole movie on, like, one backlot.
I mean, how much more did you need?
They should have just rebuilt the original house and had it shot in Texas.
Okay.
Right? Why shooting on this cheap backlot?
I mean, you definitely got a point, but I don't know. I still feel like, I mean, you don't need much. Funny enough, so I just looked it up. The original one cost them $80,000 to make and made $30.9 million in the box office. Think about that for a second.
Wow. That's incredible.
I was going to say, for back then in 1974, that's a buku load of dollars. All right, and here's the really shit kicker about this movie. The Rotten Tomato meter versus and user rating of this movie, 33 and 31% respectively. Is the movie getting the love from the fans that you deserve, that you think it deserves, or do you think they're shitting on this unnecessarily? Either of you guys could have taken that one. That's fine. Just throw the dead air out.
I think they're shitting on it for all the wrong reasons.
Okay.
And I feel like they do that with every horror movie that comes out. You know what I mean? I feel like every horror movie that comes out, they can't wait to just find the first thing wrong with it and shit on the whole entire movie.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I mean, we're just coming off of talking about Scream and Halloween Kills, which, granted, Halloween Kills had very varying opinions. Scream got certified fresh, and I think has like a 96% user rating. So obviously they did something right in Scream that the fans were like, oh my God! And this one's like, oh God. It's like the difference between looking at me and Mark. People are like, oh my God, when they look at me. And people are like, oh my God, when they look at Mark.
That's very true. You can see my face. You probably turned the fucking screen off. But yeah, like I said, I'm in those horror groups and all they do is shit on every horror movie that comes out. They shit on Scream. They shit on Halloween Kills. They shit on this one. Any big horror movie, they can't wait to just go to the forums and
just
go
like kind of dissect it.
Yeah, I go on a lot of forums and I read up on other people's opinions. And this movie got very mixed. Some people liked it. Some people hated it. When they really hated it, they were shitting on it. I think people have such high expectations for horror movies now. Because the classics were so good that these ones that people are coming out with now are just not living up to what people think.
So you mentioned about, you know, back in the day. Let's touch upon the 1974 version of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Because to me, that is probably one of my favorite all-time horror movies. It's such a classic. It's got so many great moments. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. I'm making a lot of noise right now. Really quickly, I have like three or four little hits. Mark, really quickly, anything that you want to touch upon with the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Because I know Tara's got a bunch that she wants to say.
I think for its time it was great, but when I rewatched it recently,
okay,
I wasn't that impressed with it.
Anything specifically that like irked you or drove you in the wrong direction?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. There's a scene in the movie like when the girl gets loose and they chase her around the table. I thought it was just so horribly shot.
Yeah.
And it just came like the movie's such a serious tone, right? The whole movie.
Right.
And then do something goofy like that, and I'm like, why would they shoot this? Like, they could have made this so suspenseful and so cool, like with her lost in the house. You don't know where Leatherface is. They could have definitely shot it much better. But it was kind of just, to me, it was kind of just shot half-assed. and it just came off like a comedy, that one scene. Well, in the middle of like this serious, like really grotesque movie.
I would say that whole dinner scene is pretty messed up, and I know you had something to say about the dinner scene.
Yeah, when they're like sitting at the dining room table and they keep shooting back to her eye and how big and small it is, and they keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I was like, this is, what are they doing? This is ridiculous right now. It was like so inappropriate. Like, I get what they were trying to do like the first two times, but then after like keep doing it like 8-9 times, I was like, I'm over this shit.
Yeah, it was definitely a little oddity, that scene. What I found interesting was, like you said, Mark, very serious tone of this movie. And keep in mind, this is a time frame where less was definitely more. And this movie was definitely the oddball out of that equation, because this was more, more blood, more gore, more in your face, like brutality. Like, this was, I mean, I could be wrong, but this is one of the first movies I remember that really showed the kill scenes to almost their entirety.
Yeah, the kill scenes in this movie were awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like the big three, you know, the last Scream and the last Halloween Kills also had huge kill scenes that were really dramatic and drawn out, and they were sick. I feel like with this movie, they were trying to do the same thing with the kill scenes, be more dramatic, a little bit rougher.
So now you're talking about the new one, not the original 74 one.
The 74 one had decent kill scenes, but like this one was way gorier.
All right. So anything else that you want to add to the 74 before we jump right into the new 2022 version?
Me?
Tara, sorry. I keep forgetting that you're virtual now.
I actually watched the 1974 version last night after I watched the new one again.
Okay.
And I was sitting there watching it by myself, and it, like, after watching it entirety, I really thought, like, this is still scary to this day. Like, can you imagine, like, being in that scenario, being tied up, sitting in the chair, not knowing if you're going to live or die? And then, you know, with the dining room scene, it got a little ridiculous. And then with the scene with the father, where they were, like, holding her, and she knew she was either going to die or live, and that scene was kind of ridiculous with, you know, them with the hammer.
I was going to say, what about that, like, hammer scene?
The hammer, like, I'm like, come on, dude. Like, are you really? Just hit her. Just, if you're going to kill her, kill her. Don't, like, they hit her once, which was like a bump, and then that's how she gets away. But, like, it was ridiculous. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
So, I don't know if, Mark, you or anybody else listening is familiar with what we're talking about. There's a scene at the end, near the end of the movie, the very end of the movie, where they're trying to get this, like, decrepit old man thing in a wheelchair to put the hammer in his hand and have him like bash her skull in, and they do it about 13 to 26 times, and he only gets the hammer in his hand successfully once. So I don't know if it was just like a misfilmed scene, or if they were like, yeah, dude, just totally fuck this scene up, and they nailed it.
Yeah, definitely. Because I was like, what is this? Because right, let me tell
you, if the director went, okay, guys, this next scene, I don't want you to do anything correctly, just fuck everything up, they fucking hit it right on the head. Like,
I think they kind of like went down Cheeseville towards the ending in that movie. But you know what makes this movie like the legendary movie that it is the first time you see Leatherface in the movie.
That, and I will say that the ending of this movie, like the very ending where she gets
away,
yeah, that's probably one of the most iconic movie endings in horror history.
Yeah, that part really stood out to me at the end when she's just in the back of the truck and she's screaming, but then she starts smiling and laughing because she's so, like, in that craziness of being scared and happy of getting away. I think that was, like, the true trauma of now she's, like, stuck in this, like, mental state of hysteria.
Right. All right, guys, let's do it. Oh, sorry. Mark, go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
Imagine being in her shoes, man. You almost got killed in the most gruesome way, and then you get out. That adrenaline rush got to be insane.
Well, that and, I mean, think about it. Her friends, she just watched all of her friends die around her, including the little Riri in the wheelchair.
That was ridiculous as well.
I'm just saying. All right, guys, let's do it. Let's dive into Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022. What do you guys say?
What's my score?
No. Like, let's just start talking about it. Let's start with some of the things that we did and did not like throughout the movie. I will kick it off. We mentioned it before, actually. The kill scenes in this movie, brutal. One of my favorite kill scenes that probably I've ever seen is in the, probably the, I think it's the opening kill scene where he breaks the guy's wrist and uses his bone to stab him in the fucking jugular.
So that was, you don't really, awesome. You never really saw that.
No, I'm trying to remember any time I would see something even remotely similar, and I can't. So I would love to be corrected on that if I'm wrong.
No, I can't think of a horror movie that happened. That was pretty original. That was cool.
You can you? No? All right. I will say this also. Mark Burnham destroyed it as Leatherface. He was fantastic. And from start to finish, I think he absolutely owned that role. And he was one of the best parts of this movie.
Anyway. I thought he was great.
Okay.
I thought he was great as Leatherface.
Yeah.
I agree. I really enjoyed him, and he kept up the energy throughout the film, and he was creepy when he needed to be.
Yeah, and just absolutely, I'm trying to think of the right word, just barbaric and just, oh, God damn it, I'm literally at loss for the word right now, but like just completely, intimidating, like absolutely intimidating throughout this entire movie.
What about the scene when the girl goes into the house to talk to the mother, and he's at the top of the staircase? With the sun shining in from the back of him, and he takes up like basically the whole silhouette of him.
Yep.
I mean, you just see like, wow, this guy is awesome, you know?
I found it very interesting because that wasn't the, I thought at first it was the original house and they just kind of built a town around it for some reason, but it ended up being the orphanage, which if you think about it, because we just watched the 1974 version, the orphanage had a very interesting resemblance to the original house layout.
Yeah, it was similar with the staircase up front.
And that
door in the back.
Like, just that scene. I was like, oh, that's why I originally thought it was the house. And maybe they did that on purpose. I don't know, but it was done very well, I think. I thought, at least. What's that?
That was my one problem with the... That was one of my problems with the movie. I didn't like the setting.
So, elaborate.
I didn't like that it was... filmed on that little town there. I thought it should have been filmed. They should have rebuilt the replica of the original house and had it shot there.
So we'll touch upon that a little bit more as the episode goes. But the original house was in the movie.
It is, yeah. But yeah. All the way at the end.
No. It's in the beginning. Hardesty is living in the house.
In the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, and I thought that was actually one of the things that really. Kind of was one of the biggest dislikes I thought was, why would Sally Hardesty go back to that house and live there and establish it as a domicile? When they showed her cutting the pig and they kind of called her. I thought that was very weird, but then yes, the very, very ending, the post-credit ending scene is Leatherface going back to his house.
Yeah.
Which I thought was amazing because obviously now they're setting up for future installments.
Yeah, one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that you have that we haven't touched upon yet?
I was a little confused with the town as well. I couldn't figure out if it was like the town that they just like built around that area or if it was a town further out. I didn't know. There was no backstory in the town. We didn't find anything out until, you know, basically they went into the home where they were.
Which again was the orphanage, so somehow he ended up there.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, what's going on? They didn't really explain it, so I was a little lost for a little while, which, you know, kind of made me a little frustrated.
Yeah. So a friend of mine that I actually work with brought up a good point of something that he felt was overdone, and the more I heard him talk and explain it, I definitely agree with him. The movie definitely... like had Sally throw at you like, I'm Sally Hardesty. I'm from the original. You killed the, like, she literally, her dialogue was just force fed. Like, there's a certain word that he used and I can't think of it right now, but basically she kept saying like, I'm from the original movie. You get what I'm saying? Like, am I saying something out of like context or do you guys get it?
No, they were trying to really push that narrative that, you know, I'm from the original and I'm coming to get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were really trying to set that up.
At one point, she even asked him, like, do you remember me?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like that was a little forced, too. Like, maybe he probably doesn't remember you because of all the people that he killed. He might. I mean, and chances are, and he's mad old. He's supposed to be mad old in the movie. So, chances are he probably doesn't.
I mean, so
he's struck a move for an old guy.
I was going to say, like, he can book it still. But that was another thing that you had. What did you just say? I'm sorry. We were just talking, and I had I literally had a thought as you were talking, and I just lost it. All right, so the couple of the scenes that really bothered me and really gave a lot of plot holes to this movie, one that stands out like a sore thumb, and I hate it so much, is when Sally gets literally ripped to shreds by Leatherface. Like, he literally puts the chainsaw inside her and lifts her up and revs it. Yet, she gets tossed into a pile of garbage and still has the strength to go reach for, grab her shotgun, cock it, and shoot it. How does this make sense?
It doesn't, but, you know, it's a horror movie, man. This shit happens all the time in these movies.
I don't know.
Yeah, I felt like that was ridiculous, and she lasted like a minute and a half, and I was like, well, that's the redemption scene, like... I thought this was going to be like a beast of a battle, like, you know what I mean? But, I mean, she didn't even last that long, and I was like, well,
she's
I guess...
She's barely in the movie.
I know, but... it's like, well, that was it? I mean, she waited all these years to find him and kill him, and she lasted less than a minute. Like, yeah. It's sad.
Now, do you think they really kept it down like that because of Halloween 2018?
What do you mean, kept it down? Like, oh, because...
Well, like,
go ahead.
That wasn't like the main point of the movie. Okay. That was kind of just like just kind of in there, and it was like one of the storylines. It's like two storylines going on at the same time.
So I think that's what it was. You have an 81-minute movie, and you're trying to cram all of this information in, and I feel like it really lost hold of the main story essentially because. And I was talking to my buddy at work about this. I felt like the opening was done incorrectly. I felt if the opening was, now hear me out. Now, obviously, Melody, Lila, I think her name is. She was the one that was part of a school shooting. Now, if you would have started the movie with the school shooting essentially kind of happening, and then Lila laying down on the floor in the bloody mess of everybody, panning into her face, and then it cuts to her same face, but looking out of a car window with them driving into town. Again, now what this does is, that way of shooting the movie, it sets up the fact that this girl was part of something very, you know, traumatizing, and now she's now set into this new area. You can even cut to like a pan out of the car with the overview of the dead sunflowers, adding all that into it and kind of giving you, okay, here we are now. Again, I'm not a director or anything, but I'm just saying in my head, that makes more sense for at least telling a story of one of these characters.
Yeah, that would have been much better. It would have flowed better too.
Oh, I appreciate your acknowledgement of my genius, so.
Yeah. Probably a lot of things. Genius isn't one of them.
You're a fuck.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Okay, this is another one that I want to talk about. Richter, who was kind of like the ultimate hero slash, like, D-nozzle in the beginning of the movie. But when we watched it again last night, I said to Tara, I was like, you know, Richter technically wasn't a dick. Because it was Melody's fault. Melody had to, you know, run her mouth about Richter, and then Richter just was like, oh, great, four more, you know, city folk that are just going to be loud-mouthed, obnoxious people. And
yeah, she started with him.
That's what I'm saying. She essentially initiated his douchebaggery.
I didn't see him as a douchebag at all in this movie.
Well, when he took the keys from them, and, like, again, he was essentially being a douchebag, but for the safety of his town and his people.
Well, think about how fast you would react if somebody's talking shit about you. This guy actually took a lot of verbal abuse before he did what he did.
And then go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. Melody kind of pissed me off throughout the whole movie, and this was just the beginning. If she didn't run her mouth or even say anything, it would have been okay. They, you know, would have just, maybe they could have moved on or whatever, but I just feel like she was just so nasty to him in the beginning that he kind of was like, all right, who's this bitch rolling
for
up in my
for
town?
No reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Setting her up as like, wow, what a dickhead. I can't wait for this girl to get killed. I mean, that's the first thing I thought.
Yeah.
She's going to get it good.
Yeah. And another scene that I really just disliked was I'll call it the pre-ending. The showdown between the two of them with Leatherface. And the more I watch the scene, the more it upsets me because she has this chainsaw in her hand. And what does she do with it? Does she stick it inside him and rip his insides out? No. Does she cut his legs off, cut his head off? No. No, what she does is she uppercuts him in the fucking chin with it. And then he falls into a pool of water, and they're like, oh, yay, he's dead. Ugh, I can't. Like, it's a bad, bad, kill. I don't even know what you would call it, but it's just terrible because there's no way in hell you can think he's dead. No way.
In defense of the movie, though, even if she did stick it inside of him and turn his insides out, they still would have had him live. I mean, it didn't matter what you did. He wasn't dying.
Well, you know what it's like to stick it in her insides and have...
What was that?
Oh, my God. You helped
there
it, we go.
You're a sick person. You need some help. You need, like, clinical help.
Stick it inside and rip his insides out. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, but, like, you know, like, listen, any movie with these big icons, these horror icons, they have horrible things done to them. They get blown up. Like, I know. Jason goes to hell. Yeah. Michael gets his head chopped off in H2O. And they always find a way to bring these guys back in the end, right?
Listen, we don't talk about H2O, man. You know this.
Oh, shut up. I love H2O.
H2O was a letdown, but that'll be another episode.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's break down the movie and give it a score. What do you guys say?
Okay.
All right, let's start with the story and plot. I will start it off by saying I gave it this score because of glaring plot holes, and I'm talking, like I said, that pre-ending with the, you know, the uppercut. I, as stupid as it sounds, the scene where she falls underneath the house into the crawl space, it sounds so stupid, but it pissed me off because he's running the chainsaw through the floor of the house, and in my head I'm like, okay, this is where the house collapses, but no, apparently this house is made of magic and still stands.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on? House would be down.
Can we also talk about the fact that this son of a bitch had a chainsaw in the wall for 50 years, and apparently it just magically started up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Amazing. Okay, good. So good. So glaring plot holes and an awful attempt to be a woke storyline with the, you know, the gentrification and, you know, I'm sure these were vegan cooks that we're talking about. Thank God they didn't use the word vegan, but I'm just saying it was a lot. They stuffed a lot into a little bit of movie, if that makes sense. And it had such potential to be great. Overall, I gave the story and plot a 2. Because I felt like it was one of its weak points of the movie. Tara, what do you say?
I would give it a 2 also. I just felt like there were so many different plot holes and they were trying to make like this good story, but I just felt like it was like a bunch of different little stories in one, and I just it bored me a little bit, and there was a lot going on and I didn't know the history of it or anything like that, so I was a little disappointed.
And Mark, what would you say?
Yeah, I'd give it around a 2. I didn't think it was that great. And I didn't like that they had 2 different storylines going on at the same time. You know what I mean? They had the big showdown storyline, then you had the new storyline where they're kicking the mom out of the orphanage and all that stuff. So
right.
You know, I think they should have just stuck to one and then saved the other storyline for the next one. You know what I mean? Because I think that's why the movie is a little bit of a mess, and they didn't really know what they wanted to do.
Well, you had mentioned something to me, actually, that I found intriguing, where the original, I guess, screenplay writer kind of, like, left the movie because of all the halts on it.
Yeah, I read something recently that said that the original writer, during COVID, with all the different restrictions, got frustrated and kind of, like, left and took his screenplay with him. And so they had to come up with, like, a whole new story. Essentially, and I think that they tried to like take his idea, but probably had some of their ideas and kind of just crammed it into one.
Okay. All right. So, what did we each give it a 2? I say, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Characters. Let's start off with Tara. What did you say? What would you say about the characters?
I would give it a 2. I felt like there wasn't enough time to really show the characters, and I felt like bringing Sally back for a few minutes in the movie, there wasn't much character development there either, and her lines were just, it just felt forced, and I just felt like the characters felt a little flat in the movie.
And Mark?
I gave the characters a 1. I literally hated every character in this freaking movie.
Not even Lila? Or, like,
No, not okay. really. They didn't really... There wasn't enough meat on the bone for me to really appreciate her character. And I didn't really like anybody in this movie.
Okay.
The only one I liked in this movie, actually, was only Leatherface.
I was going to say, but what about Richter? Because we were talking about him, and he essentially was the only one who redeemed himself to
a
degree.
Richter, you know, I will say, actually, you know what? I'll say I did enjoy him giving up a good fight to Leatherface.
Okay. All right. I would also give characters a 2. I wrote that basically the unnecessary exposition that was used, which again, that's basically, it's just a comprehensive description of something. So it was basically Hardesty saying every 5 seconds, like who she was and where she's from. It was unnecessary. And like Mark has said, it was too many storylines in one movie. But again, the characters, no one was able to really develop themselves aside from Leatherface, who I guess in all aspects of it, he's the one that you want to build the most. But at the same time, you have another cast of characters that you should be evolving or at least giving us some meat on the bones about. So I feel like that really, you know, dropped this score down to that 2 right there. Next item is score and music. And personally for me, this one was the weakest link of the movie. Mark, where would you go with score and music?
I'll give it a 2. I didn't think it was, like, terrible, but I also didn't think it was iconic or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of middle of the road for me.
Yeah, and I mean, I gave it a 1. My thing was the score was almost non-existent. Like, yeah, there was, you know, the high strings that were adding to the intensity every here and there, but I can't sit and say, oh man, you know, this scene was great because of the score, or this scene was great because of the music that was added. I like when music is added to a movie to add a level of either intensity or fright factor, something like that. And I really just felt like this movie didn't use that to its fullest potential. I mean, if you think about it, in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, when you first see Leatherface in that doorway, the music that hits just adds so much to that moment of this ominous creature just standing there. You know what I mean? Where would you throw the music into, Tara?
I would give it a 1. I felt the same way. I felt like it was non-existent. And it like really didn't hit me until I watched the 1974 version after that. And that one was so much better. And I'm like, wow, you know, that was how many years ago? And that one was so much better, and we have so much better technology today that the score wasn't that great. Like, it just wasn't memorable. It didn't, the music alone didn't scare me at all.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so far we have really low scores throughout this entire movie. Now, these next two categories, at least specifically for me, is where the movie really, really redeemed itself. We'll start with cinematography. For me, I gave it a 4. It had great use of lighting. Some really intense scenes. Like, there's one scene where Hardesty is at the ambulance and there's just a light beam coming from behind it, and she's standing in the field with all the dead sunflowers. And it was just such a great use of lighting when he lifts up the skin of his mother's face into the sunlight, and just before he puts it on his face. Again, great camera work, camera angles, and just really, really like the film. I felt, and the cinematography picked up for where they lost it with the music, is really why I gave it this 4, because it really took what it didn't have in music and score and showed you visually what this movie was. That's what I feel, at least. Where would you go with, Tara, where would you go with cinematography?
I would give it a 3.
Okay.
Like, I agree with you about the, you know, the field part where, you know, he's holding up the mother's face and all the angles there, but I felt like the town was very flat. I felt like, you know, they could have made it look a little bit more authentic. It was very boxy and just kind of looked fake to me. It was inside the home that actually looked more realistic than like the whole town in a setting.
Okay. Mark, cinematography, where you got?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 3 also. There was a few scenes I really enjoyed. Like, I really liked the scene I mentioned before where he's standing on top of the staircase.
Yeah.
thought it was great. But I didn't like that they used that little back lot and they just kind of just stayed there the whole time. I feel like being out in the middle of Texas, they could have done a lot more.
Yeah, and I know where they were trying to go, but I do agree with you too, where the whole town just essentially seemed like, yes, they were on a film lot. And they didn't.
You could tell. You could see it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it didn't look like a town. It didn't even look like a small town. It literally, like you keep saying, it looked like a film lot. And that was definitely a negative point for the entire movie. But there are, I mean, the bus scene with the blue lighting and the blood splatter and the slow-mo. I mean, that scene alone, that's why this cinematography is such a high score, at least for me. Okay. One last category, and it's the ending. And for me, this is where the movie absolutely knocked it out of the park. We talked about that pre-ending we were talking about, or I was, with the uppercut from the chainsaw. But after that, shit gets picked up big time. Mark, what would you say about the ending here? And we'll even include what we talked about before, that post-credit scene as well. Let's put that all into this as well.
I loved it so much. You don't know how long I was waiting for that girl to get it. And when they gave us that false ending of him going into the water, I was like, the first thing I said was, no fucking way is he dead. And when he came out at the very end and cuts her head off, I was in my seat jumping for joy. You don't know how happy I was.
So what would you give it?
I'm going to give it, what are we doing, out of 5?
Out of 27. Yes, out of 5, Mark.
I'm going to give it a 38.
38,
okay. 38
out of 5. 38. So, for me, everything, Mark, you just said hits the nail right on the head. I gave this a 5 as well. What I loved more than anything, even more than I loved that post-credit ending scene where him walking back to his house, was the throwback to the original ending. After he rips Melody out of the car, cuts her head off and does the fucking Leatherface dance, just the panning back to Lila screaming out of the auto drive Tesla, kind of like a modern take on the original ending. And I absolutely loved it. It was done so perfectly. And there was kudos to the throwback and I loved it. So I gave it a 5 as well. What about you, Tara?
Yeah, I give it a 5 as well. The ending, like, saved it. I was like, is this it? Like, when Leatherface went down into the water, I was like, there's no way in hell either, you know, that he's dead. They always come back. So I was waiting for him to come back. I didn't know when he was, or they were going to show him at the very end after the girls took off. But I was definitely happy when he jumped out, you know, and took her head off, because I didn't like her throughout the whole movie, and she really pissed me off. So I was like, you know, it's big F you to her, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, the sole survivor of this girl who now survived 2 very traumatic life experiences. And then the post-credit scene of him walking back to the original house, you know, it sets it up for the next movie, you know, and now we're all like, ooh, what's going to happen?
Now, when you said that, setting up the next movie and her having 2 traumatic events, what are the likely odds that we see her in the next one? What do you guys think?
I think that's why they kept her alive.
Okay. The next
one. I could see her coming back in the next one, but I could also see them going with a completely different story. But I would like to see her. I would like to see what happened to her after, you know, living through this
both of those.
And the school shooting.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of person she would be in the future.
She would definitely be fucked up, that's for sure.
What about, we didn't really talk about the kills, how amazing the kills were. Because what about that bus, the bus scene? I don't want to forget and not talk about that.
So yeah, so we're just about to wrap up the overall scoring of the movie. And then I want to talk about some of our favorite scenes without a doubt. So the overall, I would say, so mine was a 2.8. Obviously, like I said, I go math style. I add these all up, divide them by 5. And that's where I got the 2.8. And it seemed like all of our scores were in the same ballpark. So we're all around that score. So again, a middle of the road horror movie. I wrote that it definitely has replayability. I would definitely go back and watch this movie again. We already have. It's lacking in some key areas, but it's not the worst movie, and it's certainly not the worst of the franchise, because if you've seen any of some of these Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies, some of them are abysmal. And
it's not as good as the original remake.
The 2003?
Yeah, the 2003 remake. Oh, I thought that was amazing.
That's, I love that one.
Yeah,
It's not as good as the beginning either, but it blows away a lot of the original sequels, man.
Yeah, abso-fucking-lutely. And like I said, definitely setting up for future installments. And can we just talk about one thing before we continue? Guys, slashers are back. Like, we are in a full new era of horror slashers, and I'm here for it.
I'm excited. Slashers are my favorite. So growing up, that's what made me love horror movies. And now that they're coming out with all the OGs, I'm very excited and to see where, you know, if there's new franchises coming out.
We just need Freddy and Jason back, man. That's it.
So I was actually saying this to Tara, for everybody listening, for you too. I have such a great idea for a reboot of Friday the 13th, where obviously the first original Friday the 13th was his mother doing the killing, but obviously we saw Jason at the very end. What if we get a combination of 1 and 2 as a relaunch, but what's happening is Jason's doing the killings, but you see his mother through his eyes, kind of like if you're familiar with Dexter, a dark passenger kind of style, where Jason sees her and hears her telling him to do all these things, but everybody else obviously doesn't around him. And it sets up and it really allows you to tell the story of his mother and his dichotomy with each other, because obviously his mother's a big part of what he's doing.
That sounds pretty cool. I would have liked to have seen them make a sequel to that, the remake that came out, whatever, 12 years ago or whatever.
It was 2009, I think, right? That one came out? Yeah.
13 years ago. I would have really liked to see a sequel to that.
Did you enjoy the 2009 relaunch?
I was in the middle of the road with that one.
Okay. All right.
So I thought, like, the next one, they would have really revved it up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to relaunch both Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street literally fell flat. Like,
hated the Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
I was so upset.
Now, question for you two, because all three of us are huge fans of Nightmare on Elm Street and the Freddy himself. Do you think the movie was bad because we are so in love with Robert Englund? Or was it everything else about the movie, too, that really also deflated that movie?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead, since you're already talking.
Well, you asked. I thought that it was just not needed. They didn't really do anything besides make him a pedophile that was different from the original. I don't think he's considered a pedophile in the original. I'm not sure.
I think you're wrong on this one, but again, this is something I would definitely have to look up, because I'm pretty sure the whole reason that the town burned him was because he was basically a pedophile with the little kids.
Was he?
Yeah.
They thought he was a pedophile.
I thought he was. Wasn't he killing the kids? I don't know. I got to go back and look that up. It was a completely pointless remake. I mean, and I didn't really like Freddy. I guess it's because my love of Robert Englund, you know, will not let me accept another Freddy.
Okay.
So it's kind of hard. Like, and the actor would have to be really great as Freddy. And you also have to get the look down, too. I hated the way he looked in that remake.
It wasn't interesting at all, honestly. And I felt it was very, very bad. But, like, just a poor makeup job or whatever they did to him, it was not good.
It's like CGI, I think.
Yeah.
It was horrible, and anyone knows me, I'm a huge Freddy fan, and I mean, I love Robert Englund. Yes, he's the iconic original Freddy, but I mean, they could have brought someone on who, you know, could either match him or, you know, do almost as good. The new one I wasn't impressed with. The makeup was horrible. They just, it just wasn't. It was just a letdown. I felt like with our technology and everything we have today, we could have been so much more better, and it just felt flat.
All right, so let's start talking about our favorite scenes in the movie. Mark,
hey, wait. So, in the original script, Freddy was a child molester, but then Wes Craven changed it to where he's a child killer, so I was right. He is a child killer. He's not molesting the kids. That was the original concept. So in the remake, they go with the original concept. He was not a pedophile in the original franchise.
So he's technically not a Lester the Molester.
No.
No, he's killing the kids, which is what I thought.
He's a Miller the Killer.
He's a Miller the Killer, right. So I just want to put that out in the air. No, he is not a molester in the original franchise.
He does not touch little pishadils for pleasure.
He does not. He cuts them off instead.
With his fingers.
With his fingers.
With his fingers. All right, let's talk about some of our favorite scenes from Texas Chainsaw Massacre before we get too off track. Mark, let's start with you because you definitely had a couple off the top there. What are some of your favorite scenes in the movie?
Man. My favorite scene in the movie?
You can give us one or two or 17, whatever you want to do.
I don't know, man. I like the bus scene, and I'll tell you why I like the bus scene. Not just because he goes in there and just kills everybody. It's kind of like a big fuck you to this like woke movement that's going on.
Thank you.
They take their phones out, and they're trying to film him and say, you know, if you come close to me, man, you're going to get canceled. And he's like, what the fuck? And he just destroys everybody on that bus. And I feel like that was a big double middle finger to this woke movement that's been going on in this country for the last few years, and I loved it.
The line that pisses me off more than anything in this movie is them holding the phones up and going, you're going to get canceled, bro.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I think it was meant to be horrible because he's going to destroy everybody on that bus. So they make you really like, what the fuck did he just say?
Yeah.
Can't wait for this guy. I think that's why they made all the characters so unlikable. So when he kills them, you're happy.
I mean, Dante wasn't unlikable, but he definitely wasn't like, ooh, I love this guy. Like, you get what I'm saying? But like his, when he butchered the side of his mouth, that was sick.
I thought he was a jerk off the way he went into that house.
The fucking jerk off.
He doesn't even have the paperwork with him. So he kicks this lady out of the house that's been living there. She has a heart attack and dies because of him. And then he doesn't even have the right paperwork that he needed to prove that he was supposed to be there. I hated it. I hated his whole little attitude.
All right. Fair enough. What about you, hun? What was one or some of your favorite scenes in the movie?
My favorite scenes in the movie was definitely the ending where, what's her name?
Melody?
Melody, because she annoyed me through the whole damn movie, gets her head chopped off. I was so happy about that. But I have to agree with the bus scene. The bus scene was super intense, you know. The only thing it was a little unrealistic when, you know, with everyone trying to get out of the bus. I mean, there should be emergency exits. And then the two girls go into the bathroom. Like, what are you doing? He has a chainsaw. He's going to take down that door. Like,
which he did.
Which he did, you know. But I'm like, you know, it's just unrealistic. It was like, okay, somebody could have got out someplace, you know. But, I have to agree that it was definitely a big middle finger to, you know, the woke movement and
cancel culture.
Yeah, because it's like no one pays attention to anything nowadays. Everyone's stuck in their phones and, you know, this is an old school. This is, you know, a monster who's, you know, coming and he's like, who are you guys? Like, I'm standing here with a real chainsaw about to cut you in half and all you want to do is film it.
So I have two scenes that I would love to talk about. Now, I have one that's very, as Mark would put it, Mike. And I have one that is just an amazing representation of what Leatherface really is. Which do you guys want first?
The one that's very Mike.
Okay. So the scene where she's in the crawl space and he's revving the chainsaw through the house and he's trying to get to her. She's literally at the window about to get out and he cuts the shit pipe and all the shit falls on her.
Oh my God.
That was so great.
Oh, that happened and I was like,
I know. I was like,
yeah, I loved it because she's such a bitchy character that you loved it, you know?
I was going to say, like, she got what she deserved, a pile of shit right on top of her. Like, and Tara goes, she goes, what's in the pipe? And I'm like, that shit.
And then I was like, oh, that's nasty.
It was so gross. And of course, she leaves then right after that with all the shit all over her. And my absolute favorite scene in the movie is the showdown between Hardesty and Leatherface. And Leatherface is in that dark alley. And she's just waiting for him. And that son of a bitch revs his chainsaw. And all you hear is, and he runs at her. And he just comes barreling out of that dark, like, awful alley, and he gives it to her fucking hardcore. And it was amazing seeing, again, that intimidation factor of Leatherface, where he's not the guy that's going to just slowly walk at you, revving the chainsaw. He is running at you, and he will knock the shit out of you. And I love that about Leatherface. I always have. Even though I feel like Leatherface doesn't get the love that the other guys do, you know?
Yeah, because I agree.
Because his movies suck.
What?
Because unfortunately, most of this franchise sucks.
No, I know, but like just the idea of Leatherface, I feel overall, he should be up there with the other top dogs, Freddy, Jason, and I'll even throw Ghostface into that. Michael. Sorry, I left Michael out. My bad. But I'm saying, like, Leatherface is just as intimidating, if not more, than most of those guys.
Yeah, he's iconic, but he unfortunately had a lot of bad entries in the franchise, which a lot of fans just got turned off to him. But I love him. I love him as a character. Okay. But unfortunately, he only has about maybe 2-3 good movies in his franchise.
Yeah, agreed. So you guys excited to see another one if we do get it, or what?
Yeah.
I just definitely hope
they do it a little better next time.
Yeah. I would like to see the next chapter, especially now knowing he's going back to his house. You know, what's he going to do now? Like, who's the next victim?
Or what's the next story in its entirety? Like, do we... Because I feel like we've gotten the backstory with Texas Chainsaw Beginnings. We've gotten a couple of quote-unquote relaunches of the series. Now I just want to see the story continue. I don't need another relaunch or quote-unquote requel or anything like that. I want to see him continue his shit. And again, like Halloween's doing. They told us we're getting 3 more Halloween movies. It's going to be, obviously, Halloween, Kills, and Ends. Give me a solid 2 or 3 more Leatherfaces that finish up or full cycle this story. I would love that.
Well, I hope Netflix digs into their big pockets and ups the budget on the next one and fixes a little bit of that. I don't know, the movie felt claustrophobic to me in this one with it. I hope the next one it's a little more open, him out in the, maybe they can shoot it in Texas. That'd be nice.
I think that was a great word that you used to definitely describe this movie, claustrophobic, because that's exactly how I felt about this movie, so much in so little of a space, and it was just so cramped. Yeah. All right, guys, that's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So that's it, guys. Let's throw out any ideas for the next movie that we're going to discuss?
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right, The Mighty Ducks, we got it.
Hell yeah, man. I'm definitely down to do The Mighty Ducks. The best trilogy in history, by the way.
Absolutely. No. Listen, I love The Mighty Ducks movies. Absolutely. I still got to watch the TV series.
I know. I only watched the
first like 2 episodes. Pretty good.
Okay. All right. Maybe we will do Mighty Ducks. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
You're going to have to tune in to find out, people. But guys, seriously, thank you for listening. This is something that we love and enjoy, talking about movies, especially horror movies. So yes, we're not going to just do horror movies, but a lot of the movies we are going to do are horror movies. I'm Mike.
I'm Tara.
I'm Mark.
Guys, thank you for listening. And this is another case closed on the Cinephiles.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh!
Ow!
What is happening?
I don't even know, dude.
Okay. Oh, your balls hanging low.
That microphone actually even sounds better than the other one.
That's because the other one sucks.
Why is it so that ring
Michael's better. Look what? At baby pa.
What'd you say?
Mike, can we cover ECW One Night Stand?
I mean, tonight or another night? No.
I'm just saying, can that be one of the episodes that we do?
Yes, Mark, that can be one of the episodes that we do.
We could do 05 and 06. Yeah.
How about you guys just shut up?
Check, 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 test, test.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
What the fuck on me?
Emotional damage.
Oh.
Shut up.
Mike, when are you going to start making TikTok money?
I don't know, man. When I put Coming Grandma on TikTok.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you should just do skits with your mom.
I do, technically.
His mom is ridiculous.